watching prohibition fall down. All right, man, bringing the Grow Talk. Have you had a good weekend, Scotty?
Yes, I have, man. Yes, I'm still here, right?
You're
I'm still standing.
I guess that's the sign.
Yeah, well, there's no ambulance to came to the event. I'm good, man. I'm good.
Check out how do you sleep? I had a quick question before we get into the Grow Talk today. Do you just like sleep pretty sound through the night? Do you flip around? Do you trade off like three or four different positions, or just curious?
Nah, I'm pretty sound sleeper, I would say. Yeah. Yeah. No,
I give myself here. I noticed from time to time the chalk outline sleep. Put a little link here if you want to check it out. There's like one arm up, one arm down.
Right.
And like leg, I'm like, dude, I'm sleeping like the chalk outline at the crime scene guy, and it's pretty comfortable.
You know, that is an interesting point, is people do sleep all sorts of ways. I've seen, you know, girls that grab a pillow and sleep. I've seen people put pillows between their legs. It's, yeah, you're right. It's pretty unique.
Be a face down, face up, on your side, need a pillow hugger.
Yeah.
Lots of different ways.
So unique.
I sandwich my head between pillows, but this isn't pillow talk. This is Grow Talk. So let's move on, man. Today, we're going to talk about the bad week in the garden.
Oh, man.
Probably not. Switching day tonight, as well as soups beds. And we'll get into these areas. There's no-till beds and watering till runoff, ?
Okay.
So before we do, you know what we're going to do? You guys, we're going to wait one show. We got to give away the Rapid LED kit, the Emerson board, the exotic board, and the Bluefish controller.
Yes, sir.
Our supercomputer that's about the size of a refrigerator is being repaired. That's the one that picks the winners. So we're going to push it to next Grow Talk. Guys, sit tight. Next Grow Talk will announce our next prize and the winner of that giveaway on the next Grow Talk show. I promise.
Deal.
In the meantime, these members that are getting hooked up, you guys, $10 a month helps support this show. Trying to get to 1,000 members, not trying. Why do I say trying? Scotty, we're going to get to 1,000 members. Listener supported Grow Talk content, so we don't have to be filtered. We don't want to have to do product placement. It'll be all weird for Scotty, like in Wake and Bake.
All of a sudden,
you're just going to start talking about something. People are like, why is he insisting we use this lawn product?
Yeah, you know what I really like is Soleil Seltzer. Delicious. To the last drop.
But what I mean, it's nice. We work with a few fine sponsors, but we really want to be as listener supported as possible so we can keep focus on bringing good content. Good Grow Talk, help the growers, help prohibition fall down. It's on the dudegrows.com homepage under support. It's $10 a month.
Yes, and we do make our sponsors listen, or else we don't want to sponsor us anymore. They got to be listeners. There are rules.
Yes, there are. Let's see who's growing some dank.
Yeah.
Dudegrows.com under the latest tab. This is Ethos Banana Hammock RBX1. Epic by Dreams in Green.
Whoa, let's see. Damn, that is one hell of a plant right there.
Does banana hammock only refer to an inappropriate swimsuit?
Yes, it does. No other.
Okay, just make sure. What's up, DGC fam? This is a quick look at my Ethos Banana Hammock RBX1. She's at day 50 and just wrapping her first week of flush. She's starting to throw down the purple hues and emits overwhelming grape gas chem.
Wow.
Profile. A gem of a plant to grow and adapts quite well. Would definitely consider her a keeper. She survived a thrip infestation, and a thrip infestation shouldn't take out your plants. It's just not desirable to have.
Sure.
Unnecessary pH swings.
Oh,
this is hey, make sure you're doing the ABC. Always be calibrating. And high EC. So high EC means, man, a couple times she got almost a little bit of burn.
A little too much chemical.
So we'll probably chuck her outside to re-veg. Interesting. Pull some clones as I tear her down and expand my footprint indoors. Did you catch all that? So it's like, this plant's ready to harvest.
Guys. Yeah.
We're looking at beautiful buds. And
right.
He says, heck, after that, I'm going to put her outside to re-veg.
What do you guys think about that? You think that re-vegging a plant?
Yeah.
And I'll ask Guru for a scientific viewpoint.
No problem.
As far as re-vegging, I mean, I know that plants can catch viruses as they get older. Assuming this is in good health, no problem to re-veg it?
No problem whatsoever at all. You just have to wait for the hormones to balance out and then take cuttings from the new growth that has, like, balanced hormonal stuff going on with it.
Nice. Yeah, I've re-vegged plants before. It takes a while. The buds look freaky as the new shoots come out, but it does seem to work.
That'd be a good post because I am curious about how you start to feed a re-veg plant. I'm concerned, should I eventually repot it kind of thing? you know? So I think, I'm assuming
re-vegging definitely needs less light than you normally would and less nutrient. And you want to switch back to veg nutrients to kind of just help the hormones be able to know that it needs to switch back to veg.
Like an 80-0-0?
Yeah, that would work if you diluted it enough.
You realize you can make that an 800 or a 0.800, just depending on how much water you put on it, man.
He goes, extremely fun plant to grow, but it's an ethos genetic after all, aren't they all? Good vibes and stay lifted. I usually always see good reports from what's coming up, coming out from Ethos. So
I agree. Colin's a cool guy. He does great work, and yeah, got nothing but nice things to say about Ethos.
Yeah, he's nice.
You know, I've called my wife nice one time, and she hated it. Hated it. Don't call people nice.
Right. This is Grow Talk Official, even though we are talking grow with the dank nugs. This is bad week in the garden.
Oh, but makes me sad.
Shashan,
23.
All right, he goes, been a member. Hello, DDC. Been a member for a few months now and a grower for about 6 months. Thank you for becoming a member. Things are going pretty well with some autoflowers I've been running, and now I took the plunge to photo period plants. I just got some Arise from Arasta Jeff.
Yeah.
It was about a month from... Did he make himself Rasta?
Rasta Jeff is Rasta, man. Hang out with him for a day, and you tell me he don't deserve that moniker.
And then he goes, it was about a month from seed when my temp started going way up in my bedroom. I know it's a blurple, but it does well for veg. And then to the HLG 600H for flower. It got up to 88 degrees. Unfortunately, my central air system was just not keeping up, and I had to raise this and the raise in summer temps, so I had to do something no one in Prohibition Land wants to do. Called an HVAC guy to my house.
Oh my God, you're so right. That's what you need to keep close as an HVAC guy and electrician when you're growing.
Yeah, he goes, I'm obviously freaking out and going through everything bad that could happen, and I'm all worried about the smell. Obviously, some stranger being in my house has got a veg and a flower room and two different bedrooms and a damn central air in the hallway between them. So you're obviously in a sensitive situation there with smell. Damn.
What do you do in that point, man? Because, I mean, think about what happens if you get your whole grow compromised. Even if he doesn't call the cops and he just tells people where there's a grow. Man, that's a big deal.
Man, I guess it depends. Yeah.
I've had these problems before, and I've loaded them in another room. You take everything out and kind of clean up those rooms, load them in a room, a back closet or something like that. But if you can secure them there and then put some kind of an odor device or a can fan in that one room, might be better than having a couple rooms loaded with plants.
Yeah, he handled it. He said he had a carbon filter in the flower room, and then while the HVAC tech was there, used an ozone generator in the bedroom, which he mentions while he was there, because you don't want to leave an ozone generator in your plant, room with your plants.
Right.
And test it, and if you walk back and forth and handle it, also offset, have any windows open you can. Hey, maybe just make it like not too obvious. Like, or you could say you're doing some type of Buddha ceremony and put like four, five, six incense all over burning in that bitch.
Yeah, but come on, that's just a clue. You're hiding something.
That's just too much. But you can mask smells. Hey, make bacon that morning. Do that.
Bacon is an excellent, excellent smell cover. Absolutely.
And he's creative with those. And then you got to get him. He says it took him 2 hours where the AC was off. And while the AC, you should have shut down your lights, man. While the AC is off, the temps got up, and I know you never use an ozone generator in the same room. My plants look awful now, and I need advice on whether to chuck them or start over or not. I'm attaching a pic so you can see the before and after. So is he trying to see if he thinks that little bit of time the ozone generator was in there? I'm looking at these pictures. The after looks kind of gnarly. He's got some leaves that are a little crispy, twisted.
If this is in veg, though, you can get these back. These aren't throwaways, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, look at getting these back.
Yeah, yeah.
But it definitely looks like there's too much ozone in the air there, and it fucked up these plants.
Me, Guru, and I were talking before. I don't really know exactly what ozone is. And what is it, O3? Is that right?
Yeah.
The oxygen. I don't really know. I don't need to know the chemistry. What does it do, though?
It's able to lose an oxygen really easy and become a normal oxygen molecule, and then... a negatively charged oxygen molecule that has a ton of potential like oxidative potential
to grab onto something,
to kind of attach to something,
an odor particle,
change it chemically in a way that it neutralizes it.
Wow. And oxidation, when I think oxidation, I think of rust.
That's one form of it. Another form would be whatever it's doing to these leaves.
Right. But it's an oxygen, with rust, is an oxygen molecule attaching itself to the metal, making it, turning it into oxide.
Oxidized iron. Yeah. Or an
interesting.
Oxide.
Is this, okay. Very interesting. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah. Let your plants recover. You don't have to, those damaged leaves, if leaves are like half damaged, you know, just leave them on there. Wait till the plant recovers. For me, it's a visual thing. Sometimes I just like, dude, I just got to get rid of that leaf. It just doesn't look good. It's taking away from the beauty of my plant.
Right.
But leave them on for a minute. If you have a leaf that's completely toast, you can take it off. Don't worry. But if the leaf's still half good, the plant can still half use that leaf.
So this is light stress and ozone. I'm sorry, heat stress and ozone. Because I'm just wondering, I haven't seen that type of curl in a leaf. I mean, that is the most aggressive curl.
I would put
curl
it more
I've
on
seen.
Ozone.
That's what ozone does. It'll curl it up like that. Because that is an interesting.
That looks like what I've never honestly. When I started growing, carbon filters were pretty much like
the
standard you went with everything. So I never experimented around with ozone. But just knowing it can be not the best thing to deal with.
I thought it was. Yeah,
it has a lot of negative effects for its use that. Carbon filters don't have, and they have all the same benefits.
Yeah, a carbon filter. The first time I ever saw one, I was like, oh my God, you're the answer to my prayers, because you could buy them in any size and they legit work. They work for a while, good 6 months to a year before you got to change it, but they will take the smell out.
Dude, ask Aquaponics Steve. He experienced with ozone, experimented with ozone in a locked closet one time.
Uh-oh.
It's a pretty good one, huh?
Damn. Came out and his hair looked like that?
Couldn't help it. I get a warm up. Okay.
I love it.
Next grow talk, switching day to night.
Uh-oh.
By Jay Blaze 2021. Hey, GC, quick question. I'm running autos and they've been on a 24-0 light on. So all lights are on all the time.
Okay.
I want to switch to 18 hours on and 6 hours off. Here's my problem. It's getting crazy hot where I stay. My room is hitting 90 plus. I want my lights off during the day, but the heat wave is only supposed to last a few weeks, in which I would like to switch the lights back to being on during the day and off during the night. But will that cause my plants to herm?
All right, so these are autos, right?
Yep, they are autos.
So autos can use how about the DLI?
The DLI doesn't really matter here. Autos can definitely be light stress too. It's kind of what they get used to.
Right.
So it's used to 24 hours of light now. Going to 18.6 is no problem, but switching around what part of the day after it gets used to 18.6
right.
that
I don't like
6 hours of dark is, they're not going to like that. And hormonally it potentially could cause the plant to herm.
Dude, I don't like to sleep one way for 2 weeks and then somebody's turning on the lights the other way. I'd be pissed off.
Ideally, you want to just pick one of these ways to go and go with it. And even if your heat wave is only lasting a week, most places electricity is cheaper during the night.
But due to work schedules and whatnot, I can get this. Tell me what you think of this idea. So I've ran into this. Sometimes it can just get freaking hot, and it's just like that week that you're just over the threshold of what your HVAC or anything can handle. So you're like, man, I don't want to go out and buy a bunch of shit and a fan or AC or whatever, because it's only this week. So if you want your lights on during the day or during a heat wave kind of thing, or if it's getting too hot, then why not, let's say, when does it get hot? Let's say by maybe 11 o'clock, 10:30 sometimes. Like
right.
You start getting a good heat of the day, and
sure.
Then that lasts till, I don't know, sometimes a lot longer. But if he has, let's say a 400-watt HPS as his light, I don't know, turn off your primary lighting or rotate it. Like have your primary lighting on for, I don't know, the 5 hours of the photo period, and during the hottest part of the day, run a couple fluorescents, run some incandescent bulbs to keep your photo period. Would that not work? I mean, if we're going to give them 6 hours of prime time light, I'm
right.
saying, like whatever is primary light source, a
right.
good LED, whatever. And then the other 6 hours, they're in the hottest part of the day. We're holding the light cycle. They're autos too, though.
I mean, it's only 6 hours of darkness. Why wouldn't you just put it at the most beneficial time
noon to
for
five,
your environment
yeah.
to have them have it? Yeah.
I would just turn them off from noon to five. That'd be your six
and then,
hours
okay,
of rest.
That where I used to do that. So if I had off noon to five, and let's say still from 5 to 8, you know, primetime Colorado heat wave or some shit, it's sure. still freaking hot. So let's do that 5 to 8. Let's wake up the ladies with some gentle lighting. And then when it gets cool enough, have your primary lighting cut on. What I'm getting at is you can still have success with your plants and not having that primary light be on the whole time. You know, that's like flowering outdoor plants.
Right.
Sometimes my crops only get 6 hours of sure. primary sunlight.
But that's more than enough. But the type of light they're getting is much more intense than like prime time sunlight is much more intense than just an HPS.
Yeah, I mean, that leads me, Guru, you said the DLI didn't really matter in this case, but I'm confused on that. I thought DLI would matter in any case.
Okay, it matters, but I'm saying he's asking about his light cycles, and that's keeping the photo period.
Right.
DLI has nothing to do with the photo period. You can keep the photo period with almost no light.
What I'm saying is if you got your DLI in 18 hours, then it's fine. If you're not getting your DLI until 24 hours of light.
Right. If he has enough light, he's probably getting his DLI in 18 hours.
Got it.
Should be.
All right. Think there we got go. It?
There
think
yeah, you did it? I learned something, sir. Yes, sir. Got
Perfect.
It.
Perfect.
What we
Don't
got?
Don't be changing my light cycle. I'd be not happy. Anyway.
I'd buy an air conditioner. One of those little $400 ACs, man. That's what I would do.
They are those window units. I saw one the other day. It was like, I don't know, 200 something is micro. It's like, this is an AC. So just getting for smaller rooms or grows or like it's getting affordable to run some of those. Watch your security, of course, as Scotty would say, you know, ground floor, window ACs, whatever. But
right. Now, I used to be an AC guy back, you know, in the 90s, early 2000, no, 90s. And it has changed so much. The tech is completely different now, all computerized and multi-speed and really, really efficient. The efficiency went from like 12 to 20 something. It's pretty freaking awesome.
Well, I'm going to take it over to learn in public for myself.
Yes,
probably
sir.
You too, Scotty. But buildasoil.com is featuring a product, coconut water powder, raw freeze dried organic. I was like,
I've never used coconut rodeo, dude.
Yes, hell yes. But I've never. He can roll some slips. Reverse. So I have never used coconut water powder. I'm wondering if this could be dual purpose. We could drink it too. You know, the benefits of drinking coconut water. Here I pulled over on their site. I'll give a quick overview. It says coconut water has wide applications due to its rich variety of chemical compounds such as phytohormones, vitamins, sugars, inorganic ions, and minerals. Used as a growth-promoting component in plant tissue culture and media formulations. And lastly, recent studies showed that young coconut water possesses very important bio-medicinal properties.
I like it. I just thinking about this. We're getting a freeze dryer, I think. And you can put coconut water in a freeze dryer. We're going to put everything in a fucking freeze
dryer. You can freeze dry just about anything. But I mean, you have to think about a coconut as the biggest seed of any plant on planet Earth, pretty sure. And in that, just a seed kind of contains all the necessary nutrients for life to start and kind of continue for like its first week or 2 weeks of
life.
Absolutely. So using that water, it contains all those like enzyme and alcohol esters, and vitamins, and proteins that are super beneficial for plants and people. I know people, it just overall increases the health of your plant.
Yeah, I mean, let's not dumb it down and call it water. Let's call it what it is. It's acellular endosperm, okay?
So pretty affordable stuff. Like water soluble here. Scott,
you crack me up.
$20 for a half pound, and it looks like you would use it, throughout a good part from soaking seeds even. There's all kinds of usage directions here.
Interesting.
To, all the way through flower. So get your hands on it, guys. Buildasoil.com. I got all kinds of other stuff over there. If you are building your soil, get it. Go to buildasoil.com.
Hey, I will tell you that when you mentioned this product, I was thinking back and I said, as a nurseryman in Florida, I've asked for propagation tips all the time and I get weird responses like Menguante. And I'm like, what the fuck? You know, I mean, thank God there's Google. But one of the responses I got was coconut water. And I was like, you know, and it kind of made sense. It makes sense now.
How many people a year are killed by coconuts? Do we know?
More than sharks. I know that. I know for a fact that's a statistic.
The thing with sharks is that it's just when it happens, the media blows it up, which I will
Hey, and that. But also a lot of shark attacks in the third world go unreported as shark attacks too. So that could potentially be.
But think about how, like, what a trick that is. You're hot as hell. You find this coconut tree that provides beautiful shade. You go take a nap under it, and a bunch of 30 coconuts fall on you and crush you, you know?
Well, how about you take a nap under it, and then you get up and go for a swim and get eaten by a shark?
Hey, I heard of a guy getting, not the good stone, but these monkeys threw stones at him and killed him. And his family wants to sue the monkeys now. It's a pretty interesting story.
We're going too deep now.
Google it. That's true.
Let's talk about Soup's bed.
Okay. It sounds a little personal, man. I'll let you hit this, man.
Soup's beds, man, by Taco Supreme. Oh, I just love saying it.
It just sounds good.
Hey, DDC, caught the show with Soup today. I enjoyed it. If you guys didn't catch, we had a recent episode of Soup the Gardener on with his site, growerslove.com.
Yeah.
Says it was good back and forth. I have a question about building my own beds. Do raised beds need drainage holes like pots? Any other advice or suggestions would be appreciated. And we're looking at a great picture here of Soup's bed as well. So, and his are fabric. So there's a couple distinctions. You could build a bed. Has anybody got that yet? Buildabed.com?
No, anybody? Come on, get it. Get it.
Or you can buy like the grassroot fabric pots, I think is one company that has the beds.
You need some kind of drainage. So, you know, Soup says it right here. You know, you can't, it's not a sealed kind of environment there, no.
Fabric beds are going to have plenty of drainage and how fabric works. And like, you don't see very many like raised bed kits that aren't meant to just go outside on top of soil that already kind of has drainage too. And no one is building these with like tarps at the bottom of it, so it doesn't drain.
So short answer, yes, they all have drainage, or you need drainage.
You just drill some holes in the floor if it's an upstairs bedroom.
No problem. Just get a good shop vac. You'll be fine.
But good tip. You're always going to want drainage in anything you're doing with a cannabis plant in a container.
Yep. You can't drown them.
All right. So moving on. Reminder, next Grow Talk show, stay tuned. We will announce the winner of the Rapid LED package. Sorry for the delay. I blame Bruce Banner.
Blame me. I'm never on time.
That's fine. Scotty screwed it up, guys.
There you go.
All right. Now we have watering until runoff.
Rusty Shackelford. Do you know who Rusty Shackelford is?
I do not.
I think it's Dale Gribble's fake name on King of the Hill, but I might be wrong, sir.
I forgot about Dale. All right. Is he the one that talks like that? Oh,
man. No, that's Boomhauer, sir. That's Boomhauer.
Okay. Oh, Dale's a sketchy one, yes. With the Ray-Bans, I'm following you.
He's the one with the hot wife.
So moving on to just harvested my first grow and the second is underway. By far the hardest part of me has been figuring out how much to water each time. I'm using a ProMix HP 5-gallon pots, some Medi 1, keeping the pH dialed in 6 to 6.3.
Very nice.
And everything sounds on point. He says, I finally got my watering right. I was only watering when pots felt light and the top inch of soil was dry. Every 2 or 3 days, depending on how the pots felt.
How big are these pots, do we know? I missed
5 gallons.
Okay.
This worked really well about till halfway into flower. The tips of my leaves were burning due to nitrogen toxicity. From my research, since I'd never flushed water till runoff, excess nutrients built up causing nutrient burn.
Yep.
So I produced to water till runoff and that seemed to fix the nitrogen toxicity. However, this required giving the plant a lot more time than I ever have given it. And it ended up taking 10 days for the pot to fully dry. Is that a negative thing? Depends on how much nutrition,
Strange. Depends on how big the plant is and the root system, I would think.
Not very common. If your environment is, you know, at the warmth it should be for cannabis propagation and growing, then you should not have your plant be going for 10 days. And an example of why... excursion.
I hope that's the right word.
excursion. Why?
Take me on an excursion.
I'll give up the exclusion of this rule. If you're planting, if you do a transplant, so if I'm taking a 1-gal to a 5-gal,
right,
and I'm really watering it in, that's going to take a little bit longer than usual because right. the roots aren't set down in that pot for me to water it again. But once the roots are set in a 5-gallon, it shouldn't take 10 days. I mean, I don't know why.
Or if it's seedling. Maybe if it's a seedling or something.
Yeah, but it's not a seedling because, oh yeah, that's another example. But in this case, it's not a seedling. So he goes, oh, my second grow now, but this time he switched to the 5-gallon smart pot, the fabric pot. As I read, they dry faster.
Right.
Fabric pots will dry faster. Mm-hmm. This time I've been measuring out my water each time, starting with just the misting in the soil and the early seedling. So it sounds like he's doing it right.
Okay.
And then he's upping it each water, and he says raising the amount of 10 to 20% every second watering or third watering.
Hey, I see he's doing a ton of measuring about what, you know, how much water he's doing. It really is a little bit more soulful, a little bit more feel, where you feel the pot. You know what
soulful
I mean?
Soulful water.
Yeah, you have to understand the plant a little bit, understand the container, understand what it feels like completely saturated. And then,
yeah, water weight.
Yeah, you know, and kind of get a feeling for it. And I mean, there are different techniques with water. There's, you know, a really aggressive water technique where you put a little bit of water on 6 or 7 times a day, like a Dutch method. But most of the time you can just, I'd say once a week, completely saturate the plant and get a little bit of runoff. I use Recharge when I do it to get the microbes all in there.
I was going to say, unless you're doing a type of like cyclical watering,
right?
When you water, you kind of want to fully saturate the pot and have like 10 to 20% runoff come off, like as a just general practice
rule of thumb,
for,
yeah.
for when you're watering. You want for that to happen.
Wait, it's for an established container plant, yes. Not for a seedling or a newly planted clone or a transplanted
right.
plant.
No,
it's
no. There you want to saturate it and then wait till it loses about half its weight and then re-wet it again.
But sorry, Guru, were you finished there? Did I cut you off?
No, I was pretty much done.
Oh, I feel bad now. Yeah, and then keep in mind, if you're growing in peat, watering to runoff doesn't mean sometimes when you water in, a pathway will have its way down to the bottom of your container pretty quick. You got to get that stuff saturated and watered in to get the true runoff. And man, I don't know why your stuff's staying wet that long. Honestly, maybe it's too cool in your grow. You don't have to do it every time. Honestly, I said honestly too much. Like, people think I'm a liar. I don't water to runoff every time, but at least once every 3 waterings. So I want
yes.
to get a good
like
saturation
that.
In there.
I like that.
And use microbes. If you haven't, it'll help with this burn. It'll help. It's, I just figure it's not like a barrier. I could be wrong on this, Scotty, but
it
the microbes.
It is actually a barrier. It's right on the rhizosphere, which is at 1/20th of an inch, where the roots and the soil meet. These microbes colonize, and it is a physical barrier that they have to get through. All this bacteria, the bacteria loves the nutrients. They eat those nutrients, and they poop them out in this really easily available. They actually hold them in this really easily available, easily storable format, man, or form. It's fucking cool, man.
And if you want a better pot to end it, the supreme aeration pot, I would go with the radical bag after your fabric pots there give out on you.
Yeah, a little bit better of a lot better of a quality, better aeration, and vote with your dollars, man. Those guys support us.
Also, they use it forever. Like they say, you can reuse those fabric bags.
You can't. Good luck getting the roots out of them.
Good luck using one of those fabric bags a second time.
Yeah, gardengearsupply.com is where you can get those radical bags. And a reminder to all you growers out there, he has, which ones are on sale? Everything from the 100-gallon, the 50-gallon, 200-gallon, 400-gallon, and even the hot tub, 600-gallon, are all almost up to half, 50% off. Use coupon code DUDE for all of them over there. Shout out to Shane.
I think I started a small fire here, dude.
Yeah, all right, we'll just maintain it. I think we got one more.
I'll just smoke it.
That works. Who's recharging it up, man?
Oh, shit. You caught me off guard. Guru, will you cover me, brother? Who is
Advanced Hydro Gardens in Colorado Springs, Miami, and Michigan.
You know,
shout out to Junior.
Yeah, if you're going to vote with your dollars, I love that guy, man. Super cool. Supported us right since the beginning. And, dude, he actually teaches people how to use Recharge and how to use soil microbes. A smart dude. Listen to Junior, y'all. For real?
Listen to Junior.
Hey, listen to Junior, all right? He ain't going to steal you wrong. No, he knows his shit, and he actually turns a lot of people on. They got a store in Miami, South Florida, and when I was down there, I did not know about soil microbes, and I was really having a hard time. I used to have to really keep up on everything, and it's really nice when you get the microbes doing the work. You get a little buffer.
Heck yeah. You guys can also get it prime on Amazon. or realgrowers.com.
Yes, sir. Yes, you can.
You got to search Real Growers Recharge. If you just search Recharge on Amazon, you know, you put all kinds of shit.
Is it really? I didn't know that.
I think so. Yeah, you can't own Recharge on Amazon. There's got to be, I mean, like battery chargers and shit like that. Something else has got to come up.
I got to tell you, you know, since everybody's been supporting us, Recharge is really popular on Amazon. I wouldn't be surprised. Amazon knows what it's
doing. If you search Recharge on Amazon,
yes,
at least for me, and it might be targeted at me, we are the first thing that comes up.
There you go.
Your guys' IP is all tainted.
What do you think? What's the creepiest thing that'll come up if you just put Recharge into Google? What do you think?
Hey, let me open an incognito window. And
sounds
like. Gotta put the words Urban Dictionary after it. All right, you ready some shout outs, man?
I am. Do you mind if I get this one? I dig it. Love is the Most High and the Herbal Professor. How about that?
Yes, I dig it. Love is the Most High reminds me is happiness is only true when with others or something deep.
I just think, all right, the backwards, a high most, the is love.
We'll give it to Beyond Thunder Sticks. As well as Deep Roots.
Hey, how about Action Figure? And I love Canna. I dig Canna too.
Midwest Shiner and Cannabis Connoisseur.
Hey, don't forget about Curmudgeon 405 and Bob Durbin. Yeah, right on.
Backwards, that'd be Nabrud Bob.
I love that. We gotta get together and just do that with every one of the members' names and see what comes up.
Yes, my name backwards is Turber. Turb, I don't know. Or E-Dud. E-Dude? Whatever.
I love the fact you just thought of that. Dude.
Stay higher, my friends.
Take her easy, brother. Some people love to blaze up the dank. Yeah, we get happy for noon. And when the boss man says to take a little break, that means we lighten up a dude. It's just weed. It's just weed. I like to keep good thoughts on. It's just weed. It's just weed. In my toolbox there's a bone. Some people start their day off with a pill. It's what the doctor says to do. They shake their heads at natural medicine. Go ahead and try something new. It's just weed. It's just weed. It's just weed. It's just weed. I like to smoke it out in loud. Yeah. Now if the big man catch you riding high. If you wonder why he hates the dank, just look at how he's being paid.